Okay, so to flesh out Sherry Nichols' announcement that I just mentioned, as we heard this morning, under the one change in the general rule that retirement accounts with RMDs are exempt is the SECURE Act that Tressie talked to us about this morning, so that the RMDs, the age for RMDs has been raised from 70 and a half to 72. So it's very important to know whether your client was born before or on or after July 1, 1949. If they were born on or after that date, then the start date for RMDs is 72, and therefore their IRAs will be exempt for Medicaid purposes only when they reach age 72. And another change since Sherry Nichols' announcement 2 years ago, this is something that we've collectively learned on our listserv, is that only individual retirement accounts are given this favored treatment. Now, a little history on this. I had a tax sheltered annuity case last fall that I was able to get through. My client had a tax sheltered annuity. I argued Sherry Nichols' slide and it was exempted. But then 2 months later in January of this year, one of our listserv participants announced, reported an appeal they'd had in which the general counsel's office had said, no, a 401k is not exempt because it's not an IRA. So it looks like they changed that policy, and you've got to have an IRA for a retirement account to be exempt. Now, fortunately, as far as I can tell, you can roll over any kind of retirement account into an IRA. So if you have a 401k or a TSA, and all you need is an IRA to make it exempt, just roll over the assets to the IRA. Or if you need to buy an annuity to make an exempt, roll over the assets to an IRA and buy an annuity within the IRA. So this is just sort of a trap for the unwary at this point. Okay, we're on page 3 now. One question that's often raised is, does the same policy apply both to an applicant and to their community spouse? And the answer to that is yes. The IRAs, both of the applicant and the community spouse, are given the same treatment. Another question, are annuities held within IRAs still exempted on the same basis? And the answer is yes. With the exception I just mentioned, that you've got to roll over the assets into an IRA and then buy the annuity in order for that to work. Another point, required minimum distributions, how are they counted? Okay, what we're hearing, and this is again on the listserv, is that required minimum distributions are counted both for eligibility and for copayment purposes. And so what we're hearing is that they'll divide the RMD income. Let's say you have RMD of $12,000 for a particular year. They're dividing that by 12, so it'll be $1,000 a month RMD. It's counted as income both for eligibility purposes and for copayment purposes. So in most cases, it's going to have to be paid to the nursing home. And by the way, this is the only rationale that I've heard is what Sherry Nichols as to why they're doing this. Sherry Nichols says, well, you have to pay the RMD as copayment, and therefore that helps the Medicaid program because Medicaid pays less. So that's one way of understanding the policy a little better. Okay, moving on down, let's see. One report says that if the RMD is not taken monthly, the IRA will be counted as a resource. I have one case in which they haven't done that yet, but I'm worried. So as I'm filing cases, I'm just going to be treating the RMD as income month by month, the way that they're telling us they want to cut. Another report says that distributions from an IRA in excess of RMD are counted as income in the month received. For example, I have a case in which my client has a child with a disability living in her home, and she would like to pay property tax once a year from her IRA, and she'll be paying more than the RMD for property tax. I'm worried that they may penalize her for doing that, but we don't know yet whether they will or not. That's just a question.